more hotly than previous years. What would you say if I asked, what are your plans for 2021? If that seems too ambitious, what are your hopes? Have you made a resolution? I have not. More importantly, what is your prayer as this year gets going? What are the petitions being made to God in your heart? Maybe you are full of hope and optimism as we turn the corner into 2021. Maybe you have had an encounter at the manger this Christmas and you still feel buoyed by that revelation of God's self. Maybe your prayers are at the other end of the spectrum. Maybe your prayers are urgent, desperate prayers for the health of a loved one, for the plans that you had for the future, perhaps for your faith, which has faltered and stumbled along the way. Maybe you are somewhere in between these two extremes or someplace else entirely. One of the common but kind of ultimately foolish things that we kid ourselves into is thinking that prayer should look a certain way, right? It should be full of praise, or it should be full of wrestling. It should be uttering sort of unshakable, confident faith. Or it should always be full of grievous sorrow over the confession of our sin. But there are actually very few shoulds when it comes to faith and it comes to prayer. Yes, each of these elements will and should be part of our prayer life at times, but our prayers will be different depending on our circumstance, the state of our hearts, our spiritual growth, the highs and the lows that we are facing. The prayers of a new mother are going to be quite different from those of a recent widow. The prayer of a new believer is going to be quite different from one who has journeyed a long time and seen God's faithfulness again and again and again. And that is why I love the Psalms. The Psalms are a kind of compendium of very different prayers. Some from King David himself, others written in his name. Some are individual prayers, others are for the whole community. Some are for moments of sickness, others are for moments of ceremony and occasion. Some are full of joy, many are full of sorrow. Most express a complexity of feeling, such as giving voice to fear, doubt, and uncertainty, while still maintaining some kind of trust that God's goodness is still yet to be seen. And even when a given psalm doesn't reflect quite where we are at today, it can nonetheless be our teacher and our guide into a deeper place of prayer. The psalm today that David read so well for us a moment ago is Psalm 84. And it is a prayer that is full of joy in the goodness that it is to be in God's house. How lovely is your dwelling place, the psalmist famously begins. We hear how he has longed to be in God's house. We hear his joy is full in heart, in body, in spirit, because he knows he is near the living God. This sought for and pursued moment has arrived. And now he can't help but sing. He is so overjoyed. This moment probably reflects his arrival in God's temple for a festival celebration, perhaps the Feast of Tabernacles, a time in which the psalmist has journeyed from his home to Jerusalem, the holy city, and to the temple itself. Hence the joy of finally having made it from whichever part of Israel the psalmist has called home. He has completed his pilgrimage for this annual celebration and holiday. And on seeing Jerusalem and being in the temple, it all speaks to him richly of God's promises that he is with his people. He sees the sacrificial rites and offerings that express true commitment and faith from the people to their God. God's house, we hear, is a place of safety, a place of refuge, even for the bird seeking a nest. All find their rest in God's house. God's presence, God's house, is the place to be. You all might have felt something like that coming back into church after having been away for so long. But then the psalmist changes his focus. Yes, happy are they who are in Zion. But as he looks back and considers his journey to this holy city, he concludes this also. Happy are those whose hearts are set on Zion, even if they themselves are not yet there. We find out that the blessing that we find in God is not primarily about a geographical place, but the orientation of our hearts. Happy are those whose strength is in you, in whose heart are the highways to Zion. The focus is less about having achieved, getting to, and arriving at the destination, so much as about the direction. Now, you know, when you sort of drive around Houston, right, we see these big green road signs overhead, and I've discovered that if you try and, like, position yourself in a lane for that sign, you're often wrong. You've got to focus on what's down written on the road ahead of you. But if you're driving on 45 North through downtown Houston, what do you see signs for? You see signs for Dallas. Right, you're not there, but you know if you stay there, you'll get there eventually. If you're on I-10 West, you see a big sign above the street. What does it say? San Antonio. You're still in Houston. But if you stay on I-10, that's where you'll get. If my geography's right, I apologize if it's not. We might not be there yet. Maybe we are far from it. But the signs are obvious. We know that if we stick at the road that with the sign overhead, that we will get there eventually. So what would be the sign over your heart? What would it read? Where is your heart headed? What's the destination that your desires are fixed on? The psalmist knows that those who seek to get to Zion will know God's blessing. Even if the travel there takes them through the desolate valley, or the valley of Baca, or the valley of Balsam, depending on which translation you look at. The phrase refers not to a geographical location, but to a place that many of us travel through, a valley of tears. Places of hardship, of difficulty, of grief. So how can these be a place of blessing? Because it is here that our tears and weeping can come to be replaced with springs of the water of life. As we seek God in the face of suffering, even when the road is not smooth, the bumps are many, there are massive potholes, we will know his nourishment and his new life, even in the darkest of circumstances, even when the light seems so far away. He will bring water in the parched deserts of our souls. The psalmist has seen that in his own journey and in others too. So although the pilgrimage and the arrival in Jerusalem was geographical and physical, the work of God is the same wherever. He blesses, he is good, he nourishes. And how much more true then is that for us, for whom Jesus is the way, is the truth, is the life. us for whom the Spirit of God is present with us now. Whether we're here on church, we're watching on screen, wherever we find ourselves. As people of the cross, we know that the house of the Lord for us is not found in brick and mortar. We experience something of this when we gather in worship, in spirit and truth, and in breaking bread together, in community, in being people gathered around the table, gathered around our Lord Jesus Christ. The majority of my most kind of joyful mountaintop encounters with God have been in such moments. In Christian festivals, in gatherings, in retreats, in conferences. Times when I have been spurred on by the faith of others, their stories, their testimonies of knowing God and their prayers. And in the opportunity to share my own story and to pray for others in return. There is something about time devoted to God with other believers that yields so much fruit. Yet how little of that we have known in the last 12 months. Even with Zoom Bible studies and other things that give us something of that, and boy, have we known the presence of the Spirit even through technology. But it still feels a bit of a dim and distant memory to think back to those times of really being able to gather together, not just physically, but freely, without distance, without having to stay back. There's a French maxim saying that says this: absence diminishes commonplace passions and increases great ones, as the wind extinguishes candles and kindles fires. In the absences we are experiencing, there is an opportunity for God's Spirit to refine and to purify our desires, to strengthen us, to transform us along the way as we seek Him on the road. And when I look at my own life and many of those around me, while the mountaintop moments are great, the moments of hardship and suffering have borne fruit of a different kind. The moments where people have taken up their cross and followed Jesus, come what may. They have been the deepest places of transformation and growth, of new life and deep springs in the desert. So these two images of journeying to God's house and the sweetness of being in God's house finally kind of intertwine in the closing verses of Psalm 84 as we discover that which connects the two images. Knowing who God is and that He is better than all else. Why is one day in His courts better than 1,000 elsewhere? Why is being on the threshold of God's house better than being in places of unfaithfulness? For the Lord God is a sun and shield, because He bestows favor and honor. That is what both the one still traveling and the one who has arrived both know. God is good. He is our shield. He will bless those who seek Him. For no good thing does the Lord withhold from those who walk with integrity. The psalmist knows the goodness of God and that He is worthy. And so the psalmist's eyes are fixed on Zion, the house of the Lord. His heart is pursuing God Himself. His journey has taken him through dry and arid places. But God has made Himself known in those places and brought life. He rejoices in His arrival in Zion, for he is overwhelmed. And he has come to know that it really is true that happy is everyone who trusts in God. So what is on your heart at the start of this year? What prayer are you praying? I'm guessing that more than a few of us, even with 2020 now being in the rearview mirror, are still feeling absences in our lives. Many things have not changed. And in those absences, some passions and interests may diminish, but others might finally have room to grow. Psalm 84 invites you to let the absences in your life increase your passion for the one who made it. Let your heart rediscover its love and desire for God himself, not just his gifts, his blessings, his guidance, or his wisdom, but God himself. To know him as the one who is our shield and protector on the road, who will be our refuge and strength, even as he is for the birds of the air, the one who will be our cause for overwhelming joy and gratitude as we see him in each other when we do gather physically and freely again, but exponentially more so when we see him face to face. So I'm going to finish with some words from Paul that he wrote to the Corinthians. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure, because we look not what can be seen, but what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. Amen.